Are you ready to join me in transforming fear to freedom? That's the objective of the show. Are you ready to explore with me and my guests? Are you ready to get into the deep and play? This is where it's at, and that's what it's all about. No medical advice here. Use discernment and decide for yourself if the information is right for you. All views and opinions expressed on this show belong to the individual and are not necessarily shared with the producer of the show. Want more details? Go to letsgetrealchatwithkatherine.com. Now let's get real and have some fun. Who are we going to explore with today? Come on with me and let's get into the deep.
All right, and we are back with another episode of Let's Get Real, chatting with Catherine and my guest this evening, Debbie Colleen. And she is going to be sharing with us some of her insights and wisdom on retrogrades. And I know this is something a lot of you are interested in. A lot of you are maybe experiencing some of the effects of retrogrades in your daily life. So it's going to be a lot of fun to find out what Debbie has gleaned from her wisdom. You know, Debbie has a much wisdom, her own starseed blueprint, which is derived from the Chinese five element theory. And she actually incorporates all of her tools into this amazing gift that she uses to help people in their daily lives to find out what they already know. And has great insight. So you can, if you're interested, you can do private sessions with Debbie too. She does them anywhere in the world where you can reach her on Skype or phone or through her her website. So just go to the lgrcc.com and you can get all your contact information there as well. But welcome to the show tonight, Debbie. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, very good. Kind of excited about talking about retrogrades. It's a very powerful subject, and I find that it really helped to know a little bit about retrogrades to understand what's happening to us each moment. A lot of hidden insights that you're often not aware of. It's something that even in astrology is not always studied in depth. Although there's quite a bit of very interesting information.
Yes, and well, the thing is, a lot of times people, it depends on what your interests are, but a lot of times people aren't really feeling like the astrology or what's happening with the planets really has much of an effect on them, but they might notice certain themes or certain ways things, communications, or just things that happen in their lives. I have to say, today is August 24th, and I don't know what's going on with astrologically, but we have a heavy smoke in the air from the forest fires in BC and Washington and all this, and we're in southern Alberta, and yet it is really quite thick smoke, and you can barely see the sun. So there's that, but I really noticed that there's been all kinds of mix-ups in communications, people that I was doing shows with, that their Skype wouldn't work and time frames were mixed up, or I was trying to get a message to someone and it didn't quite get through, or different things like that. And I had to, I was laughing because although I'm at a place in my life now where I'm much more willing to go with the flow, but it seemed like as I was contemplating this day, I thought, wow, all of that in one day. I mean, that's got to be not a coincidence. I mean, it can happen, but all in one day? I mean, like, must be four different things happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, we often notice when, especially Mercury retrograde comes around, which it does approximately 3 times a year, approximately 3 weeks to a month each time. And there's always a lot of talk when Mercury goes retrograde, but the truth is all the planets go retrograde at one time or another, and some of them for long periods of the year. So in our birth charts, most of us have one, maybe more retrogrades. It's really common. And we don't recognize, because we don't know the moons of the planets that well often, we don't recognize that that the retrogrades are happening to us all the time. And at this point, actually, our favorite scapegoat, Mercury, is not retrograde. It goes retrograde in September. And, then overlaps into October. But right now we have three planets retrograde, and they're all of them out there planets. Well, two of them are out there planets, by which I mean the outer planets, the big ones. One is Pluto, one is Uranus, and then Venus is a closer planet, one of the inner planets. And each of them has their own area that they go retrograde. But oftentimes retrogrades don't bring that bad luck or stuff that we're used to attributing to them. What they bring is a heightened sensitivity in a certain area of our being. And that heightened sensitivity gets us to pay more attention. You know, it's like if you have a sore toe, you pay more attention to your toe. It's not that it's bad luck or anything. It's just that we're really paying attention to it. And that way we are cleaning up some of, you know, we're reorganizing. Retrogrades get us to deal with past issues that haven't been dealt with yet. So it's as simple as, when we've been playing a game, at the end of the game, we need to put our toys away.
Right.
When we're cooking a meal in the kitchen, at the end of the meal, we have to clean the kitchen up. So it's not always our favorite job. It's so much more fun playing and cooking and eating than it is to put everything away and clean up afterwards. But it still has to be done.
And so these retrograde planets support us in doing that. Is that really what it is? Support?
Support. Well, it's like, young lady, you're not leaving this house till the dishes are done.
It's more than support. It's actually big mama bear kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like there's this energy that needs to be done because it needs to be done.
Right.
We're not going to be able to step into the next part of our life with comfort and ease and effectiveness if we don't take care of the last project. You know, if you can't find, you know, if the cooking dishes are in the sink dirty somewhere, you can't make the next meal very well.
Right. Right.
So it's just common sense.
So but, it's a practical.
You know, it is very practical. And it's benevolent, you know. Every parent knows that the kid needs to learn how to clean up as well as to enjoy themselves. It's just the cycles of life. So like good parents or good friends are the planets cycle through these processes that, move ahead, go backwards. So the thing about retrogrades is that, you know, to understand how they work, we have to talk about from where we stand on the earth. Retrograde motion is just an apparent motion. It isn't an actual, no planet goes backwards. It's just that as we all cycle around the sun in our orbit, some planets further out, the inner planets moving faster, the outer planets moving slower. We all, from our vantage point on the earth, it looks as if some planets are falling behind. So a sort of example of this, way of looking at it is if you're driving down the highway and there's a train on a track beside you and your speed is a little faster than the train, both you and the train are moving forward, but when you're going a little faster, it looks apparently as if the train is falling behind.
Right, right.
So that's just kind of it's an illusion. But from our vantage point on the earth, it's a very useful, effective, and actually meaningful illusion, is that the energy of that planet is going backwards. It's like an elastic band pulling us back into the playroom to put our toys away and to get ready for the next project that's upcoming. With a clean slate.
It's like the magnetic hill. You know, there's a magnetic hill. Is that in New Brunswick, I'm thinking?
Yes, it's in New Brunswick, yes.
Yeah, and it gives you that illusion of that you're moving when you're not, kind of thing.
That's, yes. Yeah, actually, it's it gives you the illusion that you're going up when actually you're going down. It's just the way the landscape is set up. You can put your car in neutral and you end up going backwards, even though you think you're going uphill. I've been there.
Yeah, I've been there too. It's been a while, but it's just, I mean, that's just kind of gives you the sense. I mean, it's real. It feels real. And so like really real and really practical. So, and that's kind of what you're saying is that although the planets aren't moving backwards, there is this real part of it for us on planet Earth.
Well, and because of, you know, if you were having an elastic band joining your car and the train, as you pulled ahead in distance and speed, that elastic band would get stretched. And that elastic band can represent the chi energy or the energy of that particular planet as it moves through our unique astrological combination of energies. So it's actually kind of unique to each person how it shows up and what intensity. And but there's some very general areas that the different planets we call govern in our charts. So we can look at general information or general tendencies, like, for instance, Mercury is about communication and technology and transportation and things like that. And while we think that things tend to break down in communication, your example of today is a very good one, that those things happen all the time. It's just that when the planet is in retrograde, we are much more sensitized to it.
Right.
That elastic band is catching our attention and pulling us to pay attention and to look into, you know, what's happened recently and also in the distant past, and just to notice, to pay attention, to look at the patterns, and to, when we pay attention to what's happening, the symbols, the people who show up, the kind of things that frustrate us, we get a really inner glimpse of what's wanting to happen in our life, what's wanting to teach us, what's wanting us, you know, to come out so that we can free ourselves from unaware actions, from lack of paying attention that gets us going on the same old paths, repeating mistakes, habits, beliefs, expectations, judgments, those things keep us going on the same old treadmill, and things that we don't really probably want in our life keep happening. Whereas if we pay attention to things and kind of put things away, you know, file things away properly in our mind and our heart, we can leave behind some patterns or also use those patterns to alert us to our tendencies, to become a strength of noticing.
Okay, so...
So it's all about paying attention and being aware.
So when we are paying attention and we are supported in as this... Because some of these retrogrades are very long, are they not?
Yes, they are. Yeah, for instance, Saturn can be 5 or sometimes 6 months long.
Wow.
And, you know, further out even, they can be even longer. You know, for instance, this year, Pluto retrograde went from 18th of April, and it will go direct on the 25th of September. Pluto, of course, being the furthest out and one of the slowest moving planets, and I still call it a planet.
Yeah.
It has probably the longest retrograde. And it's, you know, during that time period, that's pretty well half a year.
So if we can,
you know, it's half a year going to be retrograde.
So if we can, so knowing this, I mean, how does knowing that that's what's happening, how does that actually support us in our everyday lives?
Well, what, like the day you had today, if you were aware, for instance, that, let's see, Pluto, let me see here, Pluto rules the underworld kind of thing. It's a transformative energy. So it's very deep in the superconscious. It's a way of really going deep into the connection we have to the divine mind. And if it was actually Pluto that was kind of affecting what was going on for you today and one part of your mix-ups, it could be that you're feeling, you know, those miscommunications and that, it could be that you were overloaded perhaps and connecting to a time in your life where you felt overloaded and that was calling to your attention that this has happened to you before.
Ah.
That mix-ups get happen when you have too much on the go.
Right. But because this time when it happened, I was very relaxed about it, you know? I didn't stress about it or anything.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking that maybe the last time I did stress about it, maybe I thought, oh, you know, why is this happening or whatever? But I didn't, there wasn't even, you know, actually it was incredibly calm. I just was very aware that I kind of just kept saying, you know, to the universe, all right, well, I'm showing up here. And so do it, you know, like whatever, however long it takes. And if it's not meant to happen today, it won't. And that's fine. And I always seem to find the right other thing to be doing or, you know, just even sitting and waiting patiently. And it was I have a feeling that that might be different than if it happened to me previously. I might have got all upset that, oh my goodness, you know, I have a deadline, I have schedules, I have things, you know, why is this happening? And I didn't go there at all. So I suspect it was was different energy.
So now that you're sitting and doing exactly what the retrograde is giving you the gift of, you're looking deeply into yourself and analyzing and recognizing a pattern of shifting, a pattern, you know, from all of your life, how you're moving, how you're using your knowledge of the past to free yourself in the present and the future.
Right.
So I'm reading this very, in my research here, I happened upon this very interesting website called pathwaytoascension.com. And Nancy B. Detweiler is saying something that I never realized, and I'm loving it. It's so juicy. That oftentimes retrogrades transcend time and space and lifetime, okay? Oh. So the way they're transhistorical, they go beyond just the confines of this life and connect us to other lifetimes. So, for instance, because Pluto is retrograde, one of the connections that we might have is to another lifetime when we had more psychic powers. Because Pluto is about the psychic world, about the occult world, about all the hidden mysteries and our hidden powers that we're not believing in so much in this lifetime, but people still have them, you know? And it's about that deep, deep inner connection we have with our divine self that transcends human limitation and takes us into divine connection.
Well, that's very interesting.
Yes, isn't it? Isn't it? Do you see, in all of the retrograde planets have that way of transcending lifetime. So we have also, at this time, Uranus, which is one of those planets you can't say politely no matter how hard you try. of course, Uranus is the planet connected with the age of Aquarius. And so that's very powerful in this time because we are moving into the time of age of Aquarius, you know.
Aren't we in it now?
So we're noticing.
Aren't we in the beginning of the age of Aquarius now? Didn't that happen?
Yes, we are. We're sort of in this backwash of Aquarius, and then we still have enough memory of Pisces that we can compare it to our other years when we were more in the Piscean age.
Okay.
So it's a comparison that's being very strong with us. Notice Uranus, things happen very quickly. All right. No more of this Piscean, you know, swimming around things, changing direction, you know, being, you know, kind of cold in the depths. No, no. Aquarius happens with lightning quick speed. And here in the same website, Uranus retrograde shows you the future in a way, but it also relates to your karmic family and societal difficulties. So how's that for Uranus, which has been retrograde, let me see here, how long? Since, Uranus went retrograde July 25th, just in time for all the elections.
Right.
And it will go direct in December 26th, the day after Christmas.
Ah, interesting.
Of course, I might have the wrong date actually there for Uranus. Don't quote me on that one exactly yet, because I notice it's the same date as something else. Anyways, I do my best with these things, but there's a lot of numbers that... Now,
okay.
Another thing that has come up, this same website talks about the retrograde person, that someone who has more than three retrogrades in their chart at the moment of their birth may very well be a retrograde individual. So if you have three or more retrogrades in your natal chart, that means that you can be working through several lifetimes at a time in this lifetime. And sometimes the connections with past lives are so strong that people can get confused about what happened then and what happened now. So some people have conflicting feelings or even memories that aren't from this lifetime. They may have senses of connections with other people that they've never met before. When they meet them, they go, wow, you feel like the oldest friend I ever had.
Right.
Or my worst enemy.
right. So are you saying that that shows up on your natal chart?
Yes, it can. And because, you know, there's so many planets that go retrograde. So let's just talk about which ones. Mercury and Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, plus Chiron. I also find Chiron very, very powerful in this lifetime too. That all of those planets and the asteroid Chiron, there's always something retrograde. So most people have at least one retrograde in their chart. And guess whose charts I checked up on, Catherine? Yours and mine.
did you check up on yours and mine?
I did. So you were born with a retrograde Jupiter, a retrograde Saturn, and a retrograde Chiron. So you are one of those people who has three retrogrades in your chart.
I kind of knew you were going to say that. I was thinking, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, and it's interesting. Do you mind if I say I can go on to mine rather than yours?
No, go ahead. I don't mind.
All right. So you have Jupiter retrograde. The people who have three retrogrades in your chart that show that you are clearing things from other lifetimes in this lifetime. And so you have a lot of extra work to do, a lot of extra information coming on, a lot of connections.
Yeah, makes sense. No wonder I'm so tired sometimes.
No wonder. And a person who's got all that retrograde energy in their chart is less likely to be concerned with things in the present, more in touch with things in the long term, and kind of more individual, because you're not really grounded in the present moment of trends and present day experiences. It's like paying off a credit card in a way, is you have to pay off the past. You have to, you know, work with the past, the present, and the future all at the same time in a way, in order to keep up with the flow of time and what you want to accomplish. It's like taking three grades in school all at the same time. You know, you've got a lot more work to do.
Yes, yes.
And some
that
of it
makes so
like,
much
you know,
sense this, to me, considering the life I've had, you know, up till now. That is, well, what an eye-opener.
Well, when I tell you the planets and what they mean, you're going to laugh.
Okay.
And so Jupiter, which is the, let me just write these down so I don't, I need to go check another page, but Jupiter and Saturn and Chiron. So all of these planets have their own kind of individual meanings.
And this would be for anybody else who had it like this in their charts as well, right?
That's right. Although most people have a different combination.
Yeah, that's what
of charts.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can get that. They could do that. I mean, it's nice that you're doing this so people can see how it actually is. But if they are interested in their own life patterns, you could do that for them. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So Jupiter retrograde. So for the person who's a retrograde individual like you are, Jupiter offers the opportunity for a highly spiritual incarnation. And, you know, you've had a lot of spiritual connection in your life.
Right.
You know, you live your life from a very powerful spiritual understanding that keeps expanding, which is another part of Jupiter. Jupiter is about expansion. So what this means for you is that you are dealing with past lifetimes of spiritual understanding, also put together with the present, and there'll be, you know, probably something that there's part of you that wants to move into a future understanding as well. So kind of outside of the present time, you're covering the whole spectrum. So
that I am.
Can bring, yes, it can bring you a lot of deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also you can feel at home anywhere on the planet. Okay?
Right.
You can. It doesn't mean you do, but that's the tendency.
Right.
You know, it talks here in this pathwaytoascension.com website that I'm quoting extensively because this is kind of a new understanding to me, but it makes so much sense. You're a free spirit, and you don't follow in the footsteps of others.
Sorry.
You also, Jupiter retrograde says here, tends to procrastinate and to plan and then to replan. But this is just all a tendency because Jupiter is all about expansion. And when we have these retrograde planets in our natal chart, we are dealing with so much shifting from the past and the present to move us into the future that things just take longer, you know, and we can't skip any of the steps because we keep having to, you know, go back into the past with our new understandings and bring all that into the present. And then we need to, you know, logically move through the understanding. Every time we make a new discovery, we have to go back to the past and have it all connected and then wind up the past for each and everything in their lifetime that is left undone in the Jupiter. And so when you think about it, it's about expansion, and expansion often has to do with abundance. So, you know, when abundance comes slowly, this is why.
Yeah.
You're working on past beliefs and experiences. And since you've had this very spiritual history, and we know the last minimum 2,000 years of spirituality on this planet has been accompanied by vows and oaths of poverty
and
beliefs in, you know, living without money, you know, it just doesn't fit in this present day understanding. So that means that anything to do with having things or money that's very much out of alignment with what we used to practice in pretty well all the religions as a highly spiritual person. And yet we have to bring ourselves into the present moment and update all that historical understanding about wealth, abundance, possessions, being okay as long as we don't let them own us.
Right, right. Yep.
And so it's this huge shift, step by tiny, tiny step that you go through because you've taken on this huge project of, you know, of working through all this karma.
And it
and
makes
karma
sense.
Not meaning that you've done, pardon me?
It makes sense that to also that urge to, okay, I want to skip ahead. Okay, I got that. And without that full understanding,
yes.
You know, I'm feeling like once you understand that, which I'm getting a clearer understanding now, you can be a little more patient with yourself and realize you have to go through the steps. And that can be really frustrating when you, especially if you're listening to different teachers and people who say, you know, you just have to do it. You just have to, you get it and just move on. It doesn't work that way for everybody. And this is what I like to really share with people is that realization that we're all unique. We have so many factors. And so when people say, well, just follow what I'm teaching you and you'll get it, is not necessarily true. It's just not. It's, you know, it's always going to be.
It's just not.
There's all these other influences. And I mean, this is just some of it. This is very cool. I'm really impressed. Go on.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Let me tell you, this really, really cleared up a lot of misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Saturn, which is also retrograde for you, is about, it's about karma, but Saturn is a very slow-moving repetition. You know, it's kind of that learning you do in school where you have that teacher who's just determined that you're going to learn the basics and learn them perfectly. The teacher who drilled you in multiplication till you go sick of it, and, you know, who forced you to read every day in front of the class, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Where you practice and practice and practice. That's what Saturn does.
How long does this last for do these planets stay this way my whole lifetime, or?
Well, it's definitely a theme to work with. And I guess what the truth is for me is that this time on the planet is when we have gotten so much more of our own personal energies available to us in the present moment that we can move out of a lot of the old tribal men energies that we have been pushing through in the last, up until now, up until basically this last 2-3 years.
Right.
So now is when we can really freely start to express our own individual understanding rather than expressing a tribal or extended family or family energy. That's kind of been that's a new evolution on this planet, is to move into our purely individual expression. We're just beginning. Just the last 3 years, it's going to take us a very long time, or a short cosmic time,
yeah.
To all of us getting really, really good at it, second nature.
Maybe that's part of the reason why some of the political things are falling away, where people are starting to not to identify so much with a group think. You know, they're saying, well,
yeah, exactly.
I'm, you know, my, because even 5 years ago, 6 years ago, people were still saying things like, well, my parents voted this way, so I have to vote this way. Or, you know, and now we're seeing a lot of shifts where people are saying, yeah, just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean we have to continue. It's just not working.
Exactly.
And so that might
be. That's right. And things that we accepted, you know, kind of sort of semi-bad behavior, we just don't accept anymore.
Yeah. So it is a lot more independence and real individual ideas. Like, people are starting to feel into their own power, like, that is my idea and it has value. Whereas before it was harder to bring out, you had to bring it out and say, well, I am part of this organization and we all think like this. Whereas now people are not.
Well, that's right. The tribal energy was about the parts of you that fit into the tribe were much easier to express than the parts of you that didn't.
Right.
And now the energies of the planet need are expanding to take all of us, the whole of us. We bring all of us into this new evolution. Don't, we can't leave parts of ourselves hidden in, you know, Aquarius won't allow that.
Right.
You know, Pisces have allowed things to be hidden in the depths and sort of ignored. But Aquarius wants all of us here right now, front and center.
Fantastic.
You know, even the parts that we're most ashamed of or afraid of, you know.
Yeah.
It's all there in the bright light of the sun.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about shame is, it's really and truly, it's just been, to me, it's just been the greatest manipulation tool ever. And it's like, who doesn't have, you know, like, who doesn't have shame? Who doesn't have something that they're feel ashamed of or their behavior? But, you know, it's that Brené Brown thing. It's, you know, she talks about it a lot, about shame or, you know, and how shame is what makes you wrong. And now we're starting to realize, no, we can own our stuff. We all make mistakes. We all have our moments of, you know, whatever. We did something that we wish we hadn't, but that doesn't make us bad. It makes the behavior bad. And that's the difference, I think, that people are really starting to become aware of it. And I don't think Brené Brown could have brought that forward, you know, 20 years ago. She, you know, it just wouldn't be possible.
And of course, those are really powerful aspects of the Saturn retrograde for you. Because Saturn has lots of experience of inner doubts of self-worth and ability to overcome difficulties. So that will be a great source of shame and guilt. Mm. It's the places where you've judged yourself or your family or, you know, felt your family has judged you or culture has found you wanting because you just don't fit in. You know, when you're one of these multidimensional, multi-lifetime people, you know, the retrograde individual, you just don't fit in.
And no, I never have. That's for sure. I never have.
Yeah.
And actually, I to tell you the truth, growing up, I didn't really realize that. I mean, I felt it, but I wasn't willing to own it, to say, yeah, actually,
well,
I don't. But that's probably part of that whole thing, right?
Are not acceptable in your family, you're not going to own it because you don't have a context to own it.
Right.
You know, it's not a part of the family expression, so that's, you know, how do you even know what the words are? How do you know what the thoughts are? How do you know what that means?
True.
Just you're always using your elbows to push the envelope bigger.
That's true. That's really true.
You also have Chiron retrograde, which actually isn't listed here. But Chiron is about the wounded healer. So it's kind of a new paradigm as we move into our healing abilities. Everyone, one by one, or you know, exponentially, however it is, expanding, popping like popcorn kernels into a healer. And of course, we come with wounds at this point. So we end up learning to heal our wounds and then helping other people to heal theirs. And when you have Chiron retrograde, that means that it just takes longer because you've chosen to bring all of your wounds into this lifetime to be,
lucky
you know,
me.
All of your karmic. But it means that, you know, you can, because the processes of reincarnation are not set to allow us to bomb out and take on too much. Sometimes we really push the limits, but, you know, there are some limitations about how hard we can be on ourselves.
Thank goodness.
And how much we can actually accomplish in one lifetime.
Thank goodness for that. There are some,
yeah,
you know, some, what do you call that, safety nets put in place, or we'd probably burn out pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see where this kind of, you know, shows you, you know, where you're slowly but surely moving into those understandings of what your wounds are as a child and how They impact your childhood, your adult life, and how they show up in other people.
Yeah, and that is another reason why I think I've committed to living so much longer than most people. You know, I'll talk about 100. I'm saying I'm going for 300 because I figure if I had to do all of this, I want to stay for the gravy part.
Well, I think you'll be back anyhow. At some point, you might choose to have a new model body.
Yeah, I might do that. A little taller so I can eat more.
You know, if we're here now, we pretty well certainly will do that. Because if we can make it through this lifetime, Catherine, we can make it through the upcoming ones. And, you know, why go through the really hard turnover one where everything is, you know, we're on the cusp here, the Piscean age and the Aquarian age, which, you know, it couldn't be much more difficult than this.
Yeah.
This is a really powerful time, but also powerfully difficult. And if, you know, why not come back and enjoy the fun times once we get through this shift and we've done all the work that we are, you know, at least gotten through a lot of the work.
Do you think that
we came here to do?
Just something interesting that you, by saying that, I'm wondering if what your thoughts are, or maybe even if your guides have some insight into this, but the sense that, you know, this has been hard, and I mean, a lot of, with 7 billion people on the planet, and there's an awful lot of people who've, you know, call themselves light workers and really work themselves to the bone in that way, you know, sort of a lot of poverty, a lot of lack for them, but giving, giving, giving. Do you really think this lifetime has been harder than, say, I'm thinking of like the Dark Ages, the times when, you know, they didn't live as long and all that kind of stuff. Do you think in a way, although it's not as physically hard, but emotionally and spiritually maybe, this one is if you were to compare, or is there no comparison?
Well, I think that it's hard to compare, but in this lifetime, you have to consider that, you know, time has speeded up. We're living in basically the reach of 3 centuries, you know, a lot of things that are going on now have very obvious roots back in the end of the 18th century. And then we lived through, is it the 18th? No, the 19th century, the 1800s. And then, you know, the 20th century, we were alive then, and now we're into the 21st century. So, things, you know, there's some really big energy shifts when you cross over those century boundaries. The
right.
Numbers are very strong energies. And, you know, the incredible curve of technological taking off, you know, we haven't ever had this in any kind of recent history. You know, there's no record of anything so dramatic.
No, you have to go back to
in technology, but also in understanding, like the incredible opening of our understanding, where we've gone from, you know, total religious and ethnic and gender persecution, I'm going to call it that,
yeah,
in, you know, not very long ago,
right.
And now, you know, we're opening up to gay marriage and acceptance of, you know, things like marijuana. Those are just really general kind of things. I'm not saying those are specifically, they're just indicative of the amount of shifting that we have come through.
Yeah. Well, some of those things, I mean, some of those things were accepted in previous societies, and then we became oppressive for, you know, where certain people had control over the rest of us. But I mean, when you think about it, medicinal drugs, or, you know, herbs and such, they were been around for a long time, you know.
They have, of course, that kind of knowledge. But just the fact that that knowledge is being suppressed in the 20th century is pretty huge compared
yes.
to, you know, the way that we were free to eat and you know, take, you know, herbal natural medicines in the past, and now it's very limited to, you know, it's very, there's political correctness, there's governmental rules and prohibitions.
Yeah,
there's
it's weird.
People's lack of understanding. You know, we've lost a lot of information in that area. You can see that there's huge changes that have happened in this lifetime.
Absolutely.
And the, you know, when you think about how the world has become very small, and you know, we've also encompassed so many more choices. I mean, the range just in the way we're allowed, you know, it's okay to dress, you know?
Yes.
It's hugely different.
Yes.
People are wearing their pajamas to work almost.
Well, I mean, women couldn't show their ankles, I mean, in this, you know, not
exactly.
Very long ago. I mean,
not very long ago. And when you think about how much longer our lives are, how much actually, you know, perhaps healthier they are, and yet how much the food isn't as healthy as it was perhaps. And the numbers of people on the planet, you know, the numbers have doubled and they just keep going up and up. Just the power of that much presence on the planet is very, very, you know, it takes a lot of capacity to be able to live on a planet with that much embodied energy of so many different kinds.
Yes.
You know, so many individualized consciousnesses on the planet all at once. It's a huge amount of psychic pressure or, you know, intellectual pressure to even imagine how much that is, you know, how many different kinds of thoughts there are in different heads on different days.
But I think that, I mean, from what I understand is that was necessary to raise the light quotient on the planet to take us into
absolutely.
This next level, right? So,
but it also has its
drain.
It's necessary, but it's also very powerfully, it's a strain.
Mm.
It affects us.
Yes.
And we've had to adjust to it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it's a very, you know, even with these three retrograde planets in my life, specifically my life, I can definitely see where this is an amazing time to be on the planet. I mean, even though it has been a hard lifetime for me, but I'm still very, like, I just can't. I can wait, obviously. I will wait because I have to, but mm-hmm. I'm very excited about what is going to happen next. Like I'm feeling so much that we have so much help, so much celestial help, so many people who are committed to doing things better, letting go of the oppression because I do think that to some degree people accepted the oppression because they really felt they weren't intelligent enough, they didn't understand things, so they always, you know, there was the elite who, and I don't just mean elite in money, although that's how I feel they actually ended up with a lot of it, was because people did think only certain people were intelligent enough to understand things, so it was, you know, or the religions to tell us what to do or whatever. But now we're starting to realize that that's not true and that we actually are intelligent and, you know, we do have the capacity to contribute amazing ideas. And so we're no longer accepting it. But for a time, we actually did. I mean, collectively, there's always been the rogues and the rebels. Thank God. I mean, that's how you get.
Well, we've always had a lot. You know, it's like coming from a time when you're working with a Commodore 64. Amount of space to be who you are up into a time when we're working with mainframe computers, each of us. It's that raising of vibration. So at those times when we were less, you know, less intellectually, we just didn't have the capacity and we didn't miss it because what did we know? We weren't comparing ourselves to a time when we had it. And then we didn't have it.
Right.
Each lifetime within our, you know, recorded history on the planet, it has been a forward growth of energy capacity, of personal capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So at this time, it's this very high, you know, the highest point that we've been for, I don't know, how many thousands of years, that we are able to express ourselves more individually and more with more capacity. This is, you know, we're just able to be more of ourselves at this time than we have for ages.
Do you think we're
ages
going
is
to
probably the right word?
Do you think we're going to catch up to the intelligence and the awareness we had at the time of Atlantis and Lemuria and before that fell? Because I
yes,
think that's the last very, time
very,
we were...
Yeah, very quickly. Because, you know, we don't have a lot of stuff to repeat. We've filled that gap of, you know, the fall from into the darkness and
yeah.
then bringing ourselves out of it. That's done, and we are now in its whole new evolution. So we've done all that other stuff. We do not have to repeat it. We just have to remember it.
Right, right. So and if anybody is
very
listening...
Quickly,
sorry, I just want to repeat that even though Debbie just went through my particular natal chart, which I think is, that's very cool because you've given some specifics on each one of those retrogrades. But if anyone is curious, like how their own lifetimes, their natal chart, get in touch with Debbie and have your own reading so you can get this. I just like the fact that you're sharing the specifics, the way that this specifically can help you to understand. I think there's so much power in that. In realizing.
Yes,
like,
there is.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been following retrogrades for a couple of years now, and the more that I've looked into it, the more I realize it really explains a lot of what's going on. We think we're dealing with the present and moving into the future, but the retrogrades that are going on have got us dealing not just with our entire past on this lifetime, but usually pass in other lifetimes too, things that are not even in our memory still running us.
Yes.
And I know that's true because I'm not a person who, this is just a personal anecdote, but this is how I know retrograde and other lifetime energies are affecting me, is that I will meet some people and I will immediately be hostile to them. Which is very unusual to me. For me, I am usually a very open to new people. That's my normal way of being. But just and these people, these particular people, a few people, I just have this, and they have it for me as well.
Wow!
And it doesn't just go away. It seems to carry on, and I have to work with it. So these are some old retrograde relationships that I need to work on. And the way they show up for me is, you know, I laugh about it because it's just, they just are, you know, why would I be hostile to these people? There's no possible reason. It just is that I am.
Well, that's
and
a good
so I have to
point.
Not take it very seriously and make sure I do a lot of Ho'oponopono prayers about it.
Well, maybe
because
you know,
I'm not willing to carry that with me.
No, and that's a good point. But also, it just kind of makes me think about that if you could, you know, think about all the prejudices and racial things, you know, how sometimes people are just they just really don't like some people of a whole ethnic race. I mean, that
mm-hmm.
could be coming from another lifetime. That could be coming from. And because you don't
Absolutely.
Know why, you've never had any interactions with people of a certain, you know, race or whatever it might be. But yet you have this fear.
Yeah.
You have a fear or a dislike.
Oh,
or
I have this. I know this person who is always, you know, very involved in researching kind of. Some atheist beliefs and, you know, very involved in it, very anti-religion. And yet this person did not grow up in religion. There isn't a reason why they spent so many years daily researching and listening and you know, critiquing people of you know, that certain religion there's no reason, there's no kind of contact in this lifetime with that religion.
Huh. How interesting.
And, you know, to see that, it's like, okay, this is definitely some past life, you know, retrograde, bleeding through work that needs to be done. And, you know, now that I've read this about how, you know, it just is so slow, it's like, okay, so don't expect him to get over this in any hurry. This is something he has to go through in his own way, his own speed.
Right, right.
Because he has to.
Right.
That's just it.
But if you, and so you're talking about somebody else, but if somebody's listening to this and they're kind of recognizing themselves in that, they're saying, you know, yeah, I've been obsessed with this all my life and I don't really know why. Once you know why, does that kind of help? Does it help to you to move?
Yes, awareness always speeds things up. But everybody's condition is different. You know, our particular karmic movement and our particular individual way of moving through things is always different. It all has to be done each in its own way, because that's what we're here for, is to experience all of this, our karma and our possibilities and potentials, our personal, our personality in the present moment. It all needs to be totally experienced in our own unique way, because that's our research.
Right.
That's what we came here to do, is research it in our own unique way.
Very cool.
And allowing it to enter into eternal memory from our point of view, so that that part is complete. I mean, that's what happened in the last, you know, the just finished evolution of the Piscean Age. We researched it all. We did it all. And so the possibilities and potentials were very, you know, very finished. There wasn't new stuff to learn.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we felt like, oh, we got really good at something, and why aren't we continuing to do that? Why didn't that become my career, my livelihood? It's because the potentials of it were already done. And that chapter is closed, and it's time to move on to something new in this new evolution that is so wide open. And this is my really great understanding for myself, is I'm noticing, and this was because of, I think, something that I read that you sent me, you know, I'll start imagining down the road the future, planning in the way I used to do, if, you know, in other years of my life, kind of, then I'll do this, then I'll do that. And then I would get into this huge anxiety. I go, oh, this is interesting. And what the article that you sent me said, it's a sign it hasn't been created yet. And in this new evolution, so much has not been created yet, that it's just time to back away from trying to create the future too far down the road. There's not so many certainties. The doors are wide open. We have huge potentials. We don't need to try and create things in the old way, because that's been done. And we can now move into this new evolution in very adventurous and open ways that will allow us more, so much more freedom, so much more abundance, so much more fun and adventure. Why limit it to our old ways of being? And yet, how do we do that? We just have to keep taking one step by one step.
Yeah.
Not trying to create the future as quickly as we're used to doing in the old Piscean Age.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, partnering with the International Kinesiology Conference 2015 that's going to be happening in Banff in September. And I'm really excited about that, because there are so many people there who are bringing us this, you know, some of them have been working on these ideas for years. I mean, you know, 20, 30 years. But it seems like now's the time that the public is ready for this new information or deeper understanding of what maybe has already kind of been known but not known publicly. And it just feels like what a perfect time that this is available to us to dive right in. And like you say, we don't have to hurry up, but it's available to us. And it wasn't available.
Exactly.
I mean, when I was, you know, 20 years ago, you wouldn't be able to go to a conference like this. You wouldn't have this information.
It just, right.
You wouldn't have been invited. This stuff happened, you know, by the intellectuals in quiet away places. And it wasn't part of the news. You just assumed that scientists and leading edge thinkers, you know, the Einsteins and Teslas, you know, they met in different, you know, secret societies sometimes, places away from the rest of us. Whereas now it's like, no, we're ready because we want the public to know, because there's so many things that we can actually do practically that are not even science. Yeah. You know, they're not, you don't need a lab to do them. They're just things you can do in your daily life. So, I mean, what an exciting time to be alive.
Oh, absolutely. And what a stressful, overwhelming, confusing, exhausting, but yes, adventure, total adventurous time. And I think that it behooves us all to, you know, slow down and pay attention to all that's around us, you know, to get out of this habit of just shooting forward and trying to keep up with the Joneses is one thing, and to get ahead, because where is ahead, you know, and allow ourselves to ponder on this information, whether you call it retrograde tendencies, whether you call it, you know, whatever you call it. It's really powerful to have these patterns of awareness that we can advance our understanding into.
Well, yes.
New vocabulary.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power, and you know, empowerment is huge. This is the time. I mean, but what you said, something really important there, and I think that it's really key right now, because we have these actual energetic changes, astrological changes, changes in the collective that are happening. So the idea that we can take what was the old way of doing business, of interacting with people, a lot of that is falling away, and it may have worked. It might have been a perfect formula for another time, but we're entering into an age. So it really behooves us to take it easy and sort of test the foundation, you know, take our steps a little bit more lightly as we do. I mean, certainly continue to grow and expand, because you're going to anyway, but instead of beating ourselves up, you know, we do that. We say, well, I should have been there by now. My grandfather did this, that, and the other, and you know, it was fast. Well, maybe that's part of it, is maybe it is fast when you are in alignment and on the right path. And maybe that's something we just need to step back and recognize. So what is, you know, is there anything else you really feel like, you know, fits with this conversation? Or is there any last words that you want to, before we wrap things up here, Debbie? This has been juicy.
I know. You know, the one thing that I would really recommend people do as a daily, you know, hourly, minutely practice in their life is to look at the thinking that they have. And what I find is, myself for sure, and many other people, is that we have this very basic way of looking at life, where life is out to get us. God is out to get us, you know. And you hear it all the time, you know. We've been taught to be afraid of our water, afraid of our air, afraid of our bodies, afraid of our food, everything. And it's not helpful, because life is actually very, very benevolent, intelligently supportive of us. And anything that goes wrong truly is something of our own creation. And that's where we can start to take some responsibility, which means the ability to respond, not guilt and self-blame. That's a waste of time. Because all we have to do here is be aware of things, and everything shifts. And that's the point I want to make about karma, is that we've been taught to think of karma as our punishment. And karma is just a weight of unawareness that we carry with us, judgments, opinions, and heaviness that we carried from many lifetimes, like prejudices and biases and fears, that we're being taken through lifetime after lifetime to go through them and heal them, to let them go, so we're not afraid of anything. So so that we are the masters of our own domain.
The Seinfeld, is that the Seinfeld quote?
Yes, it is. And where, you know, we feel confident in our capacity to live a life that is in concert and partnership with the elemental and angelic forces, you know, all the invisible world around us, to just trust that we are in goodness, surrounded in goodness. We can take, you know, we can respond, have the ability to respond to things that seem tragic and negative, but to keep taking it to the bigger understanding of our eternal life, to let go of bitterness and the shame and the fear that we're taught in every moment and we have reflected to us. And the biggest and best thing we can do for ourselves is remind us that even though we can't see it, Holy Spirit is turning everything to good. It doesn't matter if we make a mistake. It doesn't matter the magnitude of the mistake. There is an equal and opposite energy of the planet, of the universe, that takes energy and keeps turning it to our highest good, our highest good. Even if we don't know what that is and what it looks like, inevitably, in this lifetime or another lifetime, good comes out of everything, because that's the natural energy of the universe. And the more that we are aware and we look for the benevolence, the more it comes to meet us.
Wow. That is fantastic.
I think that is the answer. You know, that is one of the biggest things that we can do, is to step onto the path of trust. It doesn't matter if we can't trust. We can be willing to trust. That's all we need, is the willingness. And trust and benevolence will start making itself clear to us when we start looking for it.
Yeah, I love
and,
that.
And, you know, why not? What do we have to lose?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I love it. I've always said that about, you know, being positive. People say, oh, well, you're just a, you know, utopian kind of person. You always thought, well, what do I have to lose?
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Telling me that, you know, oh, you're just not accepting life the way it is. Why? You know, because we just get more of the same. Let us allow ourselves to imagine, because we know now there is an awful lot of power in the imagination, in that, you know, whole process. So I love what you're saying, and I love the power of this insight, because to me that's another thing, is when I understand something, I feel a lot more confident and comfortable. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, then I understand. You know, that understanding really is a good place to have your foundation. So thank you so much, Debbie. I really appreciate this insight. And once again, I just want to remind people, if you want to work with Debbie, Debbie, what's your contact that you want them to contact you through? I should ask you.
Well, that's interesting. Probably at my, that's a really hard question. They need to check on your website. My website, starseedblueprint.ca, is kind of under construction right now. So I apologize for that.
But
my email address.
Yeah, they can get that right on. They can get your email address on lgrcc.com on the guest. Inspiring guest link. It's all there, that information. That's probably best, because you've moved. You've just moved from Vancouver to Kamloops. So that's just to let people know, if they're in the Kamloops area, then it might be easier to connect with you in person. But if they are anywhere else in the world, then connect with you via email, and then they can set something up to do their own. Because I really think there's a lot of power in not just the retrograde information and the natal chart, but everything you do, Debbie, which has it's been tremendously helpful in my life to help me to see things more clearly. Sometimes, you know, you just need someone that's not you to look at things from a different perspective, right? So Anyway, exactly. That is fabulous. And thank you to everyone for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel and hook yourself up for the email. And when you do that on lgrcc.com, you also get a free meditation, short meditation on self-esteem as a gift from me to you. So until next time, take care.
Amazing. Thank you to my guests for sharing with us today. Thank you for watching. Feel free to share the link. You can join us for live shows by going to letsgetrealchattingwithkathryn.com and listen to the replays from the show page, preview guests, and explore links to our Facebook fan page, WordPress blog, and more. We are creating an exquisite world. Until next time, take care.